Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content, such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyle and wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. So now, y'all know how we do this. At first, before we do anything, I got to give a couple of shout-outs at the beginning of my show, as always, because I have a powerful show, you know, planned for you guys tonight, but these shout-outs are very necessary before we begin the show. The first shout-out I want to give is to my San Francisco 49ers. Oh, yeah. We are doing this in a major way. We are back, baby, in a very big way. And we're going to be representing in the Super Bowl this weekend. So for all y'all haters out there, all these Cowboy fans talking smack to me all season, everybody, you know what? The proof is in the pudding. We are in the Super Bowl along with the Chiefs, which is crazy. 50 years dormant, and then what? Ravens didn't make it. Patriots. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. But I'm so happy for the 49ers and all my 49er faithful fans. You know, we got this. We got this. So it was only necessary for me to book a ticket for my daughter and I to go to the Bay Area this weekend and watch the Super Bowl with all my family and friends. We had to do it. We just had to. So go Niners this weekend. We got this. Next, I'm going to give a shout-out to two amazing sponsors, Tillamook Jerky and Noosh. Thank you guys so much for providing healthy, nutritious snacks for the weigh-in last weekend in Mexico. The fighters, the attendees, everybody really enjoyed your products, and I just really appreciate having healthy options, you know, after these weigh-ins so that people aren't just eating whatever. They're eating things that really, you know, nourish their bodies. You know, speaking of the boxing show in Mexico, I was really bummed last weekend because I really wanted to be there to watch my friends fight and you know, also to work and help with the weigh-in. But I got under the weather, so excuse me tonight if my voice sounds a little different. I'm kind of getting over a little something-something, so just bear with me tonight. But congratulations to Hector Alatorre, Jalen Walker, Eros Correa, Henry Carabello, and Malik Birdsong in your recent victories last weekend. And TJ, I'm so proud of each and every one of you. It was amazing. I wish I could have been there again. You know, I also want to congratulate Rodney Cruz Hunt and George Diaz for being awarded last weekend for promoting the most fights at Big Punch Arena in Tijuana. That's quite an honor. Proud of you guys. Keep up the great work. And also want to give a big shout out to WBC Latino American heavyweight champion Johnny Rice. Johnny Rice was on my third show, for those of you that have been following me since day one. I believe it was the third show. He has a huge bout coming up in Australia fighting for the WBO, Asian Pacific, and IBF Intercontinental belt. This fight's going to be streamed on the Australian Fox TV network as well as locally, And I'll be giving you more information about that as it gets near. Just check out my IG page. I'll be posting about that. He's looking for sponsorship as well. So anybody that's listening out there that wants a sponsor, get behind a fighter that's really about to do some big things in a major way and be world known, get behind Johnny Rice. Contact me. DM me. Lastly, it's heavy on my heart that I want to recognize the legendary champion and his daughter, who recently left us over the weekend, along with 7 other passengers who lost their life in a helicopter crash. I was on my way to my daughter's ballet recital, and my phone was blowing up, you know, mentioning that Kobe, you know, is not here anymore. And I'm like, what is going on? No way. And I thought it was some, you know, evil rumor, you know, some awful rumor out there. And gosh, these people should be ashamed of themselves, because, you know, we've heard rumors like that about different celebrities out there, and they were hoaxes. And so I was like literally thinking that was a hoax. And it was just like a nightmare. It was like a bad dream. And tons of things were going through my mind. I turned on the TV and I'm like, I had to verify. And sure enough, you know, it showed Kobe, you know, and his daughter. And we didn't know about the rest of the people involved in the crash at the time. But, you know, it was my daughter's recital, and I had to get ready and go. You know, the show must go on, and we had to keep moving. And it was hard. It was a very tough day for me, and I know it was a tough day for everybody. It was just a kind of crazy situation to go out the door to, you know. I just want to send my condolences, you know, to Kobe Bryant's family and his close friends. My family and I have been keeping you close to our hearts and our prayers every single night, along with all the others who lost their lives in that crash as well. So tonight, it's just, I only feel it's right to, in honoring Kobe and his daughter and friends and family, I asked for my very first guest, whom I interviewed on my very first show, to reappear on my show tonight, because I found it only appropriate, you know, due to his professional career in basketball. Slam ball champion Mr. Sean Jackson, Inches, as they call him, Sean Inches Jackson. You know, he was a pioneer in the game of slam ball, and had some close interactions with Kobe, so I wanted to have him come on the show and, you know, share some of his experiences with you in tribute to the late Kobe Bryant and his daughter. Let's see if he's on the line. Let me see here. Inches, are you on the line?
Yeah. Tammy?
Miss hey, Tammy. Hey, Inches. Yes, how you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. I'm hurt. It's you know, just the things that have been happened with Kobe. I'm still in disbelief. First of all, I want to give my condolences to Kobe and the family. His dad, Joe Jellybean Bryant, is also a real close friend of mine. It's hard to put in words to what's going on with him and what happened with him and his daughter and 7 other people also on the helicopter. It's still a disbelief. I mean, 41 years of age, you know, the man, 5-time champion, MVP. I mean, he turned his whole life around. He turned everything from an individual person to an all-around player, to make him one of the greatest, as is one, or is, still is, to, in my eyes, the greatest player of all time. I had my share with Kobe. You know, we hung out, we talked. He gave me so much knowledge of how to become a great player. When I was doing slam ball, of course, you know, Joe Jellybean Bryant, he was one of the head coaches of slam ball. And and that's how I met, you know, Kobe's dad, and we became so close. You know, he invited me to his home, you know, told me things about, you know, how Kobe, you know, how his passion, his desire to be a great player, and just seeking the knowledge and just soaking it in. And then when I met Kobe, we met in Melrose. I was on Melrose. I was doing a documentary. They was doing a documentary. Well, Slam Ball was doing a documentary on my life. And you know, I was in the recording room, you know, going over reels and editing and stuff like that. So, you know, it took a long time. So I just had to take a break. So I just, you know, went to the back door, went in the alley just to get a little fresh air, get out of the room and stuff. And 5 minutes later, I turned around, door opening, Kobe and his agent come out. So he looks at me, I look at him, I'm like, Kobe? He like, inches? And I'm shocked because he know who I was. So I'm like, wow. I'm like, Kobe, you know me? He like, you said my name. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, my dad, you know, told me about you, you know, and I saw a couple of your games, you know, and you know, you killing them out there. And just, look, can I give you some knowledge? Oh, when Kobe said that, hey, you know, I was all ears. You know, I'm like, Kobe, what are you going to tell me? You know, he said, I see what you do. You know, you solidify yourself as a one of the greatest players of slam ball. I'm like, well, yeah. I said, from coming from you, Kobe, it's an honor. But how can I make myself a great player, like one of the greatest player? Like, how can I involve myself as a true player? Well, to be one of the greatest players, you have to be an all-around player. What I mean by what he said by all-around player is not to put yourself as an individual person. Involve your players, aspect the game, involve yourself more than just the game. Involve the whole unit. Study them. Have them study you. Study the floor. Study the methods. Discipline yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just mentally and physically put yourself in that sport. That's what makes yourself a great player. You know, when you involve your players, unless you're more them, less you, that will make you more become a great player. Because you involve and you becoming a leader instead of a follower. That's my advice to you, Antis. And this was in 2002. And then the next season, when I played, I involved my players. I took his words, and I took it for real. I took it to the heart. I took it to the mind. And every single day, you know, I talk to my players. We go over things, you know. I tell them, you know, this is your greatness instead of your weakness. Put that in the field of it, and I'll involve you more. So as the second season went down, I involved my players more and more and more and more. And then one game when I played against the Riders, and then I ended up becoming the most valuable player. Not only did I have a double-double, but I involved majority of the players to make them better. One of our hosts, Pat Parnell, Pat Croce, Reggie Theus, I overheard one of the tapes in the commentary. Mm-hmm. Pat Parnell said in his exact words, "We don't see Sean Inches Jackson as we usually see him in the first season as him being an individual player. But what he has done, he has progressed and became an all-around player." And when I heard that, when Pat Parnell said that, did not change my game from an individual to an all-around. That's why he became one of the greatest players. I saw Kobe at Joe's, at his dad's house. And the funny thing about it is that Kobe didn't know that I was at his dad's house. So I'm in the living room with Coach Joe Jelly Bean Bryant, going, you know, looking at, you know, he showed me his photo albums, you know, Kobe, you know, when he was little, this, that, and the other, you know. And then then the doorbell rings, you know, then Joe Jelly Bean was like, "Hey son, how you doing?" And I'm like, nah, that's not Kobe. That's not, you know, I'm just, you know. And then I look up, I see Kobe walk past the living room. And then he backs up and he looks at me. He's like, "Itches, what are you doing here?" And I was like, "Cole, hey, I got to tell you something." And then his dad was like, "Y'all know each other?" And Kobe's like, "Well, yeah, I know Itches." And then he started cracking up. And then I said, "Kobe, I said, thank you for what you told me to change my game from an individual to an all around. I did that and ended up 2003, ended up becoming a layup man of the year 2000. I ended up becoming what he asked me to do and ended up being to become one of the greatest players in slam ball. And I thanked him from the bottom of my heart. And when I heard what happened Sunday, I was at church. I didn't get out of church till 1 p.m. because I had a basketball tournament that I had to go play. And one of my best friends called me. And it was like telling me, like, "Hey, man, you heard what happened to Kobe?" And I'm like, "What you mean what happened to Kobe? He got inducted to the Hall of Fame? I'm thinking something. You know, saying something positive, something, you know, great." And I'm like, "Well, no, what happened? What happened to him? Like, he's gone." "Like, what you mean he's gone? Like, what do you mean he's like?" "He's like, Kobe's dead, man." I'm like, "What are you talking? Like, dude, don't, like, come on, don't, no, nah, man, but, like, stop messing with my head, dude. Stop, you don't play with, like, you know, say, dude, you know, this is my best friend." It's like, "Vince, I wouldn't play with you like this, dude. Like, for real. Cut on the TV." I said, like, "Dude, I'm in my car." He said, "Cut on the radio." As soon as I cut on the radio, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. And I just started crying. You know, it wasn't his time. He still had more to bring, not only as a father, not only as one of the greatest players, but he was also a businessman. He has so much stuff that was going to be introduced to the world of what ideas and what projects he came up with. Like, I just want to let everybody know, just stay tuned and watch what happens, because he came up with some wonderful, genius ideas. Him and his business partners came up with some ideas that no one probably don't even know now, but they will later on. And this was all Kobe's idea. You know, I'm heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I know everybody in the world's Kobe fan, Laker fan, is grieving. You know, I'm grieving. You know, I see, Shaq is a good friend of mine. It's Derek Fisher. I mean, I have a lot of friends that, you know, I see their faces. I see their expressions of sadness, this and the other. You know, I just want to just the person that I want to, like, reach out to is Kobe's dad, you know, because I know he's really, really heartbroken. And same as his mother, same as the Bryant family. You know, my condolences is to the Kobe family, to the Bryant family, to everybody that was also lost their lives in the helicopter. You know, I'm still at shock. All I know is the my thing is now is to pass on what he told me to the new youth in the future. Because I got some things coming up with Slam Ball that I'm bringing back, and I want to give them my story and teach them what Kobe taught me and told me will make me great.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep my head up, you know. When people tell me what's going on, you know, I just tell them, you know, he's in a better place. Him and his daughter, they're in a wonderful place. They're in good hands. You know, all we got to do is just look up in the air and just give love to him and his daughter.
That's right. That's right. You know, Inches, you know, I know that you're an L.A. native and you were born and raised, you know, here, and certainly a Kobe fan.
Born and raised.
I know that this has affected a lot of people, you know, in L.A.
Yeah.
If you look at the news, the tribute, like just literally the day of and days past, you know, you look at the coverage at the Staples Center and just and beyond, you know, we have a guest on tonight, so I hate to cut you short, but I want to thank you so much, Inches, for joining us tonight, you know, and paying tribute to Kobe, his daughter, you know, and his friends aboard that helicopter on Sunday. I wish that I would have had you on the show under better circumstances, you know, for the second time, but, you know, this is just something that happened that we all, you know, are heartbroken over. And I just, you know, knowing your stories and affiliations with him, I appreciate you coming and joining us on the show tonight. And we'll have you back on the show for something, you know, for better circumstances. But I appreciate you taking the time out tonight and being on the show tonight.
And I appreciate you, Ms. Tammy, for giving me the opportunity to talk and give my side of my story of my memories of Kobe. And it's never going to leave my mind. It's never going to leave my heart. You know, he's always been a friend of mine, and I surely will miss him.
Yeah.
The Black Mamba.
I know that. The Black Mamba. That's right. That's right, Andrew.
Yeah.
Well, we'll carry him on in our hearts and prayers to his family. And thank you once again.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking soon, my friend, okay?
Oh, yeah, we will be talking because I will be bringing Slam Ball back, and I will dedicate a team to Kobe, and it will be called the Black Mambas.
Oh, that's wonderful. You all heard it right here on Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show. Thank you so much, Inches.
Hey, thank you, Miss Tammy, and to everybody.
All right. Well, that was very nice of Inches to be, you know, on our show tonight, and we really appreciate him taking time out to pay homage to his friend and the people associated with that. You know, one thing that I've heard ongoing after this tragic event is that, you know, you have to live in the moment, and this is so true. You know, tomorrow is not promised, that we have to live every single day to its fullest potential. You know, last week I was really ill and not feeling well, still kind of, you know, not 100%, but a lot better. You know, ended up in urgent care, and I have not been that sick in years. And I was really genuinely, like, worried about my health. And, you know, you really truly find out who your friends, you know, are and who really cares about you when you're sick and you're going through a crisis. You know, I had some friends that checked up on me, like, every single day, and I just want to thank everybody, you know, for doing that, for checking on me, making sure I was okay, checking in with me and caring, because that meant a lot to me, you know. This tragedy, this weekend, you know, helped me realize some things, you know. Again, like, tomorrow's not promised. Don't procrastinate. Get everything you can out the day, you know, out of one day. And take care of yourself. Don't take your health for granted. You know, be thankful for everything. Be grateful. Love everybody around you. Listen to them. Be there for them. And be a true friend. And treat your family with respect and love always. I mean, I just held my daughter so tight. You know, these are all things that we know, but we all get caught up in our day-to-days, and we don't take the time to keep in mind the most important things in life. You know? And sometimes these tragic events stop us in our tracks, and truly, you know, remind us of what is really important. But now we're going to go ahead and switch gears. And I'd like to introduce to you the first lady on my show, who I'm very proud and blessed to have on my show, speaker and life coach, my friend, my colleague, mentor from Detroit, Michigan, and now living in L.A., Miss Patty Smith. Let's see if she's on the line. Patty, are you there?
Hi. Hi, Tammy. Yes, I am.
Hi. How are you doing tonight, Patty?
I'm doing well, thanks. And I, you know, had the opportunity to listen in with Inches, and that was quite a tribute and a share. And, you know, I think that was a beautiful way to start the show.
Well, thank you. I just thought it was only right. It was just been so heavy, I think, on everybody's hearts, you know, this week. And, you know, this is like a sports and nutrition and health and fitness show, and I just felt like it was only, you know, right to pay homage, you know, and just, you know, this is part of healing. I think talking about things is part of healing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, maybe it's a good segue into the talk that we're talking about today with mindset, because, you know, we strive to have a great mindset, but life happens, and it's really how you navigate, you know, that. And this is an example of that, you know, and you're right. You need time to heal and process things. And anyway, it was just a beautiful tribute. And so I felt honored to be able to listen to that piece of the show before we come on.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to tune in and listen, you know, before bringing you on. You know, I want to say happy birthday. You just recently had a birthday, and I know that you actually attended a conference, always working, but it was fun work for you. I know you were excited about some conference that you went to over your birthday weekend. Can you tell everybody about this conference that you went to?
Yeah, well, it was called Dream Builder, and you know, it's a personal development event, and a lady that I got my certification through, it's her event. And, you know, I have to say it was a great way to start my birthday week, but it was also a great way to start the year. And I go every year, and she does them three times a year throughout the country. But the thing that I love about it the most, you're always getting something new from it, because, you know, we're always growing. So, you know, it's so important to place yourself in environments that support your growth. And, you know, you learn by repetition. So you can hear similar things. And if you stay in the study of it, it's always landing in a new way for you. And so, you know, that's how we grow and learn. But what I love about the environment, it's such an electric environment, is, you know, I've watched her since I've been going the last few years. I think she had 400 people at her event the first time I went, and now she had 1,200. And this time she moved it to the Dolby Theater, you know, in Hollywood, and there were 1,200 people there. And what's amazing is that she can make that large environment so intimate. But the thing that's the coolest is being in an environment with, you know, it's like you're in this container of possibility. Everybody there is there to grow, and there's just such an electric energy that comes with that. And it's funny because the hotel where she always used to have it, the hotel crew used to vie to work that weekend, because they said they loved working the hotel that weekend because everybody there was positive, and it's just like inviting and kind, and it was just very empowering. And they said they loved working at the, you know, all the people that served us at the hotel, whether, you know, it was doing the rooms or people in the front desk or restaurants. They loved that weekend just because of the energy. And it just goes to show, when your head's in that place, you know, what you can create.
That's so cool. It's really important to be in environments that you, like you said, that you could grow. But also I could absolutely see how it would be a fun weekend for any staff that was working, because they're around people that are just like, wow, they got those wow factors going and their minds are moving and the sky's the limit. You're on fire because you're going through a breakthrough moment, you know, where anything can happen and something can spark those ideas that can turn your entire life around and shift. So, you know, speaking of shift, it's interesting because your background, Patty, you know, you went from the fashion industry to, and I know you had probably odds and ends jobs in between, but really like switching careers. The average person switches careers like 5 times in their life. And you went from like fashion to healthcare, then to the personal development business. And that's quite a huge shift of careers. What led you from going from, you know, fashion and healthcare to then working in personal development and becoming a life coach and speaker?
We all have our journeys, right? And this is mine. I mean, I grew up in Michigan, in the Detroit area, in a city called Warren, you know, one of 6 kids. And, you know, I always loved fashion growing up. I did. Even as a little girl, I would fuss with my mom practically every night over which pajamas I would wear to bed. No lie. And, you know, I followed my passion for fashion, not knowing how it would unfold exactly, because, you know, there wasn't a lot going on where I grew up, you know, with that industry. But I just kept that burning desire to make it happen somehow and, you know, did stay open to it. You know, when you're a kid and you imagine, you believe that you are going to make these things happen. And I think, you know, if us as adults can go back to that part of us and continue to lean in like that, it'd be amazing the things that we could do. But, you know, so I had that passion and, you know, through many winding roads and some brick walls, I ended up evolving my dream, which was my possibility, into a 20-plus-year career in the fashion industry, which led me from Detroit to Los Angeles when I was 22 years old. And, you know, I ended up living, you know, having my dream job. I traveled all over the country. I was in New York 8 to 9 times, you know, a year. I got to go to Paris. I mean, it was just, I was living my dream job. And then, you know, through that, you know, living in LA, I met the man that was really kind of the man of my dreams. And we eventually did get married. And that's a whole nother story about how that evolved. But, you know, and then we had a beautiful, yeah, everyone's got their story, right?
That's what I love. Everybody's story. That's why I have the show, to tell people's stories. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Keep
and
going.
You know, you learn from each other. You learn from each other. So, mm-hmm. so you know what? We got married. We had a beautiful daughter. She had blue eyes, red hair, and I'm telling you, life was great. Life was just I felt like I was just, you know, rocking on all cylinders. Like everything was firing amazing. And when my daughter was about 7 years old, my big sister, who was about, she's 4.5 years older than me, she'd been battling breast cancer on and off, but winning more than losing the battle. In the middle of it, she left a toxic marriage and, then one day got a terminal diagnosis. She had 8 weeks to live if she didn't do chemo in the brain and 8 to 9 months if she did. And, one day, you know, one diagnosis, like you were talking about in the show with, you know, with Kobe, about Kobe with Sean, you know, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And one day you get that diagnosis and it literally changed everything, you know, everything for her, everything for her family. And she had 2 kids and she was divorced and, it rocked everyone's world. And I moved her into our house and quit working and became a full-time caregiver, like overnight. I mean, overnight.
Oh my God.
And you know, that was my world. And, it was crazy. I mean, talk about a roller coaster. And, 8 months later, my sister passed away, and, you know, she left behind a 10-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. You know, think about, you know, Kobe's family right now. They've got, you know, kids that are still here that lost a sister and a dad. And, but, you know, you got, you know, how do you move forward, right?
Yeah.
But you do, you know, you do. And it literally caused a shift in me. You know, once she passed and we kind of, you know, got through the next few months with things, I was in that world of healthcare, and I just had this sudden pull that I wanted to help people in a more significant way. I mean, I had loved the fashion industry. I did a lot of different things in the industry. But after that experience, I just felt so pulled to help people. And because that was my world, I decided to make the shift. And I mean, everybody that knew me was like, you're doing what? you're going into healthcare. And I couldn't believe it myself, but you know what? I followed it because it's just where I just felt meant to go. And, you know, I always loved helping people. I studied personal development my whole life. And you know, when I was little, I used to want to be a teacher. Then I wanted to be a nurse. My family used to call me Florence Nightingale because I was always that, you know, Florence got a call again from a friend and they're in need and she's out, you know, doing her thing. It's just what I did. And I never liked reading when I was growing up. My older brothers and sisters did. I had some younger ones, but the older ones did. I thought something was wrong with me until I started reading personal development articles in fashion magazines. Cosmo was a big one. In fact, I saved all these articles, and my mom, when they moved, and I was living here already, she found the articles in a manila folder and sent them to me, and I still have them to this day. And, but anyway, you know, I was in the healthcare, and just, you know, I decided to get into healthcare because it was my world, and I felt like I wanted to be an advocate. And after, you know, being so involved with my sister's, you know, journey in her last year, I jumped in, and, you know, It was exciting because it was new. I ended up getting with an entrepreneurial company eventually. I did a couple things, and you know, it stretched me. And I thought that this was my next chapter. And you know what? Not to get into details, but it ended up being a stepping stone to personal development. I ended up with a company that they created a position for me and. I was VP Relational Partnerships, brought partnerships in. They made me president in a year and a half. I didn't think it was the right fit, but I did it as a temporary thing. And then I ended up having to shut down a company that I didn't even start, you know, due to some things that I found out that just weren't set up properly. And anyway, I found myself like, okay, now what? I thought that this was my journey and, you know, anyway, so I had a friend who was a coach, and she said, you know, while you're kind of figuring stuff out and shutting this company down, you want to help me with some PR and marketing? And I said, sure, you know, would love to. And there I was exposed to the personal development field instead of just reading it, you know, and applying it to myself because I just loved reading that kind of stuff and I loved working on myself. I didn't realize that I could actually to be in that field. And one thing led to another, and everyone was telling me you should coach. And I was pushing it away from myself because I didn't think I wanted to get into a business for myself because I just shut a business down that I didn't even start. And you know what? When you don't listen to something that's calling you, it just calls louder. And eventually I decided, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And so I did. I jumped in I decided I'm going to go for it. And I'll tell you, the thing that really pushed me over was actually the day I turned 50, because my sister passed away at 50 years old, and I was 4.5 years younger than her. And the day I turned 50, I woke up, and I went, you know, people were calling me, oh, you're 50, how does it feel? And I just remember thinking, the first thing, honestly, I felt was, this is all my sister got, was 50. Like, I can't imagine that this is it. You know, it makes you think about Kobe. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And so I remember thinking, I'm 50 years old, and I'm thinking, you know what? What am I doing? I have a daughter who at the time, you know, my daughter then was in middle school, and I'm thinking, I'm telling her you should do this and, you know, follow your dreams and all this, and I always have, but I was, you know, I wasn't pushing myself the way I was telling her, and I thought the best way you can teach your kids is to do it, to show them, you know, because
right.
they know. It's like walk your talk, and so that's really what pushed me over. That's when I said, okay, I'm in. This is what I'm doing. So that's how I got in.
That's so cool.
That was my journey.
That's really amazing, Patty, and I thank you for sharing that, you know, your why, because honestly, you know, you've told me several times while goal setting and doing different exercises with you that, you know, the why and your purpose is the most important thing, because you have to come from that place in order to have that heart and get to the meat of your dream. It, you know, understanding the why behind it, your purpose, you know, and I believe that, you know, you can have more than one calling. We've, like I said, the average person switches, you know, careers 5 times and life happens. And so it shifts you in different directions, you know, to do different things. And I certainly have been example too of that. You know, I've done a million different things across the board that are like completely opposite end spectrums in life. But that's what makes us whole, and that's what makes us human and be able to relate to other people in all walks of life. So I think it's important to listen, as you said, to those callings, because it'll show up, it'll keep showing up. And especially, you know, as you always say, if you're in alignment, you know, with your goals and keep walking in that direction. And you know, my show, I normally talk about nutrition, fitness, and professional sports, but you know, tonight the topic is so relative to fitness, nutrition, and sports, and everything you do in life, that I said, you know what, I absolutely have to do this show with you. You know, talking about mindset is so critical in everything that we do. You know, and I didn't understand it, honestly. The first time that you were talking about mindset, I was like, what mindset? What was that? What is that? And you showed me this book. Do you remember that book that you gave me about mindset? And then I started reading it, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. You remember that book that you gave me?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I do. I've actually given that book out to a few people, because I just think that it's the woman who wrote the book. The book that you're talking about is Carol Dweck. Her book is called mm-hmm. Mindset. The New Psychology of Success. And mm-hmm. She, you know, I mean, I know mindset, you know, you want to have a good mindset, and that's kind of, you know, if you want to think about really what mindset is, the definition of mindset is an established set
yeah.
of attitudes held by someone, right? It's your attitude. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, your mindset is literally the foundation and cornerstone for everything that happens in your life, you know, because it's, you know, the glass is half full or half empty, you know, how are you going to approach
mm-hmm.
something? And really, more than any other one single factor, your mindset really determines your success in life. Because, you know, think about it. You can have 3 people that go see a concert, or they go have a weekend together. They're all together. They have the same, you know, they're in the same hotels. They're doing the same things together. And yet you could talk to them separately. And sometimes you could think that they weren't even on the same trip together, right? Or they didn't go to the same show together, because
mm-hmm.
it's your perspective, you know? And so,
right.
But this woman, what was so fascinating was somebody gave me this book, a friend of mine whose brother and sister-in-law were teachers. And she said, you've got to read this book. She did like one of the most in-depth studies on mindset. In fact, in the last year, all these articles I've read that were the articles that didn't have one thing to do with the other, like they were all from different places. I can't believe how many people reference her work and her study, because she really did decades of research. And so this book is fascinating. And, you know, it comes from the perspective of the mindset of like, if you're a teacher, you know, and you're working with students, if you're a parent, a coach coaching, you know, athletes, it was just fascinating. And her what she ended up concluding, I mean, she's a Stanford University psychologist, right? And she found, you know, when studying mindset, that success in school, work, sports, and almost really every area of, you know, human endeavor can dramatically be influenced by how we think about talent, our talents, and our abilities. So after, you know, decades of research that she did into people's beliefs about themselves and their abilities, she identified that there were two fundamental mindsets that people held. And this is what was fascinating. The two mindsets were the fixed mindset and the growth mindset.
Okay.
People with a fixed mindset believe, they're fixed in a growth. So people with a fixed mindset, they believe that their most important personal characteristics, you know, about themselves, like intelligence and personality, are largely fixed and unchangeable. So this mindset leads to never ending need to prove yourself, you know, protecting your ego and constantly needing validation of your sense of self, right? You need outside validation. Whereas a growth mindset, it's people with a growth mindset believe that their basic qualities and abilities are things that they can cultivate through effort and persistence, right? So this mindset, not only do people that have a growth mindset have a passion for learning, but they have a passion for personal development. And they have this confidence and this resilience, you know, to any kind of adversity or criticism, right? It's like they take constructive criticism truly to learn, whereas somebody with a fixed mindset takes it as a judgment, right? So you're not going to learn that way, right? Because you're too busy being, you're going to get defensive. So so kind of an easy way, I think, to really break it down is some examples, because I know when we were talking about this, I think it's always helpful to give examples. So a fixed mindset, for example, would say, I'm either good at something or I'm not. A growth mindset would say, I can learn to do anything I want. Another example, a fixed mindset would say, I don't like to be challenged. And a growth mindset would say, challenges help me grow. Another fixed mindset would be, you know, they come from the perspective of my potential is predetermined, right? I was born with certain things and that's it, right? Whereas a growth mindset, their perspective is my effort and my attitude determine my abilities. And that reminds me of Kobe. I mean, a man, somebody who put effort in and had that attitude and that focus, right? No one's going to tell him, right? Think about people that you know. It's like, you know, I'm going to do it no matter what, and I might have to, you know, fail 50 times or 100 times, but I'm going to do it. That's a growth mindset, you know. Another one is, you know, a fixed mindset says I stick to what I know, right? Because, you know, I'm good at certain things and that's it. And, you know, you end up living in a box, right? Because you're afraid to fail. Whereas a growth mindset, they're always, I love to try new things. So, you know, just to kind of sum it up, people with a fixed mindset, they become more concerned with how they're going to be judged and they fear that they might not live up to expectations, right? So you live in this box. Whereas people with a growth mindset, they come from the perspective of rather than seeing mistakes as setbacks, they're willing to try new things and make errors. And it's all in the name of learning and achieving their potential. So, you know, and so what was fascinating about this is that, you know, you can have a fixed mindset in certain areas of your life and you can have a growth mindset in other areas. It doesn't mean that you're either one or the other. And so but the beauty of mindset is you can change mindset. You can absolutely change mindset. I think that people don't think about it that way, you know, especially if you've been knocked down a few times, say you're trying to do something, you're trying to stretch yourself and you've done a few things and, you know, and people on top of it, you've got the peanut gallery saying, you know, who do you think you are? It's easy just to say, you know what, I'm just not meant to do that. But, you know, think about when you're a toddler or think about any little kid learning to walk, right? What happens when they're learning to walk?
They fall. They get back up again.
And they keep falling and they keep getting up. And you think that they just go after 10 times of falling down. You know what? I'm going to give up. I guess I'm just not meant to walk. They don't.
No.
They all end up getting up and walking, right? Think about riding a bike, you know, at least most people who have, you know, a lot of people have been able to, maybe there's a few that don't, but you never thought I'm not going to ride a bike. It's just, I'm going to figure this out, right? Think about driving a car, right? You go to driver's training, you have to practice, but you've got a purpose, right? I'm getting that car. I'm getting that driver's license, right? So if you think about wanting to change your mindset, you know, I think the first thing is, you know, set an intention, you know, I don't like right now what's going on in my life, right? I don't love my results. So what's the result that you want? You know, instead of thinking about why you can't do something or why it's like, but what would you love? Like what, set the intention and then start taking steps in that direction. You know, one step forward, you know, what's the thing that I've told you before? The best thing to do is be like you were saying today, how you started the show about being present, because we only have today, you know, the past is yesterday and we don't know about tomorrow. So you have today. So you can always take a step, right? And the best thing to do is just ask yourself, what can I do with where I am today with what I have, you know, or with what I know? And you take that first step, because when you take that step forward, another one shows itself and then another one. Sometimes it takes you in one direction and maybe that wasn't your final, you know, it didn't land you where you thought, but because you started moving, it brought you to some new place, right? I mean, that's what happened in the fashion business with me. I mean, it almost didn't fly, but it's like, I just kept, you know, I wanted it so bad, you know, so think about that with anything. You want to lose weight, right? How bad do you really want to lose weight? If you say, you know what, I am doing this no matter what, even if, you know, you fall off the wagon a couple times, you know, you don't stop. Just like, okay, I had a bad day. We all do. You know, think about, you just said you were sick. You were really, really sick, right? So,
Patty, there's like a little buzz on the line. Let me see. Okay, now it's gone. All right. Yeah, this is live, so sometimes we get little feedback, but it's gone now, so we're good. Go ahead. You said.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just saying, you know, you were saying you weren't feeling great this week. You had, you know, you were pretty down for a couple of days with, you know, your cough and all that. I mean, you were pretty sick. And think about it. You still did what you have to do, right? I know you have a young daughter, and so you're still there for her. Maybe you aren't there for her in the way you want to be for her, you know, be there for her when you're not feeling well, but you do the best that you can that day, you know, and sometimes it's a little bit, and then there's other days where you can. So, I mean, I think that we can get so ahead of ourselves about things. And it's so easy just to kind of let the world kind of consume you. But when you stop and say, you know what, the power's in me, you know, I'm the one that can change my mindset. I'm the one that can make things happen. You know, it's not the peanut gallery. It's me, you know, and I'm telling you, I've been listening to some stuff that they've been showing on Kobe, and I'll bring him up. Just because, you know, I think, you know, we talked about it, and he's such a good example of somebody with a mindset. And they were kind of taking takeaways from him, all of his isms of things that, you know, drive him. And one of the things that he said was, be the best that you can be. And he was, mm-hmm. what he was speaking to is, he said, be competitive with yourself. You know, he said, forget about the outside. Ask yourself, is this the best that I can do? You know, and I thought, that's so great, because, you know the best that you can do. You know if you've given your best. No one else knows that but you, you know, and it's like we don't trust ourselves. We're always looking for the outside. And, you know, mindset's a choice. It's a choice. You know, we don't choose the conditions always or the circumstances that, you know, come in front of us, but you always have a choice in how you're going to respond. Always. And that's a game changer.
It is. It really is, you know, and, you know, in terms of, you know, sometimes we're in environments where it's very challenging to, because you're around a lot of people that have a fixed mindset. And how do you navigate through that challenge if you're around people, you know, like let's say you're at work and you're around a bunch of people that are in a fixed mindset and you're trying to, you know, I've been in work teams before. You know, back in the day, I've been in teams where we're working on a project and everybody's like closed-minded, fixed about, like, I know when I was 21 years old, I had this big idea of a huge fundraiser, doing this haunted house. I was fresh out of college, first year teaching, sixth grade, 35 kids in my class. No, 36 kids in my class. I'm teaching full on. I said, look, everyone's going to science camp. No child left behind. We're going to raise this money. You're not going to go because you don't have enough money. We are going to raise this money. And none of the teachers were behind me. I said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, work with the parents. And the parents were motivated. Every single child went to camp. And I did that for 5 years. Nobody believed, or actually 4 years. 4 years, nobody believed. And every single year it got bigger, 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 and better. And everybody from that city and all the surrounding cities used to go in the Bay Area to my haunted house. And Harvest Festival was a big deal. So I'm like, what is the advice that you give to those that are around? You know, I know there's probably listeners out there that feel like they're stuck sometimes, you know, because they feel like they're in kind of a fixed environment to where it's hard to change people's minds. Like, what would you recommend to them to help to influence people to be more in a growth mindset?
You know what? Be the example. Be the example. You know, when I was talking to you about my, you know, my daughter, you know, like I want her to be the best she can be and follow her dreams and all that. And it's like, well, wait a minute. The best way you can do that is be the example. Action. If you take the word act, A-C-T, action changes things. You know, be that person. Be that example. Les Brown has such a great quote. Be the message that you want to bring. Be the message.
Oh, I love
that. So an example you gave about yourself, Tammy, that's what you did. You said, I'm going to, you know, sometimes you can't, like, you want to surround yourself with like-minded people as much as you can, mm-hmm. and people that are going to support you. But sometimes you can't avoid it, right? Sometimes you have to be around family maybe that isn't so supportive, or like you said, a work environment. But you know what? You do the best that you can with where you are, with what you have, mm-hmm. but no one can control your attitude, even when you're around people like that. But you can be, you know, be
the example,
that person that you want to be. Be the example. Absolutely.
I love that. I love that, Patty. You know, and I don't mean to cut you off, but we are literally down to our last minute. It's the craziest thing, because I had so many more questions that I wanted to ask you, because this is such a fascinating topic. I'm going to have to bring you back on another time. But I want to ask you, how can people follow you on social media or email you, get in contact? Because I'm going to post this on my page. We got like 30 seconds.
Well, you know, my website is pattysmithcoaching.com, and my email and information's on that one. So it's pattismithcoaching.com. That's the best way to, get a hold of me. All my information's on there.
Perfect.
So,
well,
yeah.
Patty, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and post that on my social media. I want to thank you so much. We're gonna get cut off in 10 seconds, so I want to thank you so much for being on my show, and I want to say good night to everybody, and God bless to everybody. And keep your head up and make sure that your mindset is right. You're in a growth mindset. Fixed is no good. We all want to grow. May Kobe rest in peace. And I thank Patty for being on my show. I thank Inches for being on my show. And I wish everybody a wonderful evening. Keep your thoughts good and be kind to everybody. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And I'll be talking
thank
to you soon.
Thank you, Tammy.